Good morning. Great to be here. God's people. I love saying that. God's people. And having an incredible confidence and certainty inside that for those of us in this room, I believe it is true. God's people together with Him. For special assembly, for special togetherness, to sing and pray and experience things that are components, very vital components, of our relationship, our friendship that I'll be talking about today with the God who is in charge, the God who is the Creator, who deserves our worship, and who receives it, I believe, while we're together today. I'm glad you're here. If you're visiting, you are so special. You helped our assembly be richer and fuller, and our praise have a little more quantity to send up to a deserving God. Thank you for that. Life has its ups and downs. All of us in this room know that. And within those ups and downs, you need friendship with the one who gives us life. Without it, I don't want to be here, just quite frankly. I've been here for a while, 77 plus years, and I've learned it really both ways, outside a good friendship with God, perhaps even looking back to times when there was none, and then as it can be, and hopefully is today, and I do not want it outside that friendship. It is useless. It does not work. It has miseries about it, no strength that comes with it, and no refuge, no hope, no peace. This is good. Friendship with God. I'm going to be starting a new series. It will dovetail into the old one. They all dovetail. For weeks I've been talking about the splendorous wonderfulness of the personhood of God. That just talks about how good our friend is who offers friendship to us. So I can really fit right into that with going forward to how to find and have friendship with God. All my life, I remember hearing, I've got new glasses, by the way, and they are bothering me. But all my life, I have heard people talking on the radio and TV, all kind of conversations here and there about having a relationship with God. You know what? That says nothing. I've got relationships with all kind of people that aren't any good over the years. Just a relationship isn't good. It needs to be more focused. It needs to be a friendship. That just doesn't mean we know Him well enough to say, oh, hi, God. That means there is something going on. There is a vital connection. There is a bond. And you and He are real to each other. And there is something there that makes you who you are, tight, love-bonded, caring. And somehow opens up for you a new whole vista of happy, joyous life. I used to read the Bible, particularly New Testament, and I hear Paul talking about he did whatever he did to please God. Well, that's nice, Paul. Okay. I didn't know why. You don't know why unless you have Him for a friend. And then it is tons of fun to please Him. We know that on a human basis. And we have people that we've been tight with, friendship with, and when we're able to do something that they really got encouraged by, they needed it, and we were there for them, it was fun. We'll just multiply that countless times in terms of your experience awaiting you in a good friendship with God as you're able to please Him. And we come here today for that, today. And that joy is yours, and to the degree that you find it, that's to the level your friendship has arrived. May it go deeper even today. The scripture that we used, in fact, I'll narrow down my topic today from just having and finding to get it even more basic. Does God even have my attention and yours? And if He doesn't, there ain't much friendship going on. If He hasn't got my attention, then you just can't have much friendship. I have friends all over the world, you know, just shocking. I was sitting there thinking back, I've got friends that were and still are, at least in potential, as close with me as I am with the people in this room. And we vary a little, but all you guys are my friends, okay? You call me, I'll show you. Now, I bet I could call you the same. And we'd be there for each other. But I've got friends that I can't quite have that with because the circumstances of life do not allow it. not because we don't love each other anymore. If they walked in, oh man, it would be great. It would be wonderful. Just incredible, in fact. We had Robin and Cynthia Jones here just last week, and wow, that friendship has gone nowhere. It's just as good as it ever was. We just don't get to hug them and see them as much since they're in Alabama or somewhere down there. Friendship is a wonderful, wonderful thing, but you need time and opportunity to interact, to share it, to experience it, for it to be what it has the potential to be, and that is ever true forever with your God. He is a God who is everywhere. We don't have to be away from Him. I'll be with you always to the end of the earth, He told disciples in Matthew 28. I'm not far from any one of you, He says in Acts chapter 16. I'm here to be your friend. What a delight that is. Moving from one place to the other, He's just there, still your friend. What a God. And what we read this morning was, let's see what I've got here in terms of experience with this thing. There we go. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. This is that friendship creation. He created something. We didn't. He did. And I don't have all the context in here. Yes, I do. Do I? Yeah, I do have it all in here. Good. He is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all the new has come. That's something different. That's something new. In Christ is where it is. All this is from God, not from you. All you did was let it touch your heart. He did it. And what did He do? He reconciled us to Himself. He got to your heart somehow. You allowed Him to, but He did it. When you reconcile people, when you reconcile individuals, you create something and perhaps you eliminate something. The discord, whatever was causing you not to have a friendship, is moved away, gone. You're reconciled and you're back to friendship, and He did it. And that potential is here today for us. Friendship with God. It is the richest thing on this planet, and without it, life will not go well for anyone. Oh, for a while, you'll have a little fun. Maybe you'll look happy, but you'll have a fear and you'll have an emptiness, and it will eventually come home to you. And we're going to be talking about that as I go along. We've just started a new year. This thing we call life has begun a new calendar chapter. If I counted right, counting today, we've got about 360 days of that left. It needs to be that we have something in ourselves that is a priority that isn't formed, not just that out of, well, that's what I should do. I had to really get a grip on myself because I know I should. It's got to be stronger than that, because you won't do that any better than you do your New Year's Eve resolutions. It'll be gone, nothing flat. It needs to be a priority that becomes a part of who you are. And this friendship thing with God needs to be there. Are there, in your case, priorities on what will be written on the 360 days left for you in 2013? Are there priorities? Or are you just going to wait and see what happens? Don't do that. There is a person, we talk about him in Jim's class today all the time, the liar, who'd love to write on your days what he wants in there. Don't let him do that. It's going to be the focus of my series. For today, I want to just sort of lay a little background for the series. Just talking and asking both you and myself, does God really have my attention? Has He got my attention? Does He? He's worried and worked with people throughout His history in this book that we read about to just get their attention, and oftentimes fail to their demise, to their harm. Don't let that be the case with you. I've talked many times, and I try to illustrate as best I can, and I'm sure I wear them out, but I can't help it. It's all I got. My fourth grade teacher was Mrs. Margaret Bradford. My third grade teacher was Mrs. Purvis. I don't even remember her first name. I did not like her. She did not like me. She only graduated me out of the third grade, I am very sure, and Stafford also, because she didn't want us back. No question about that. We are the first few days, couple of weeks in Mrs. Bradford's class now, Stafford and I, fourth grade. And individually, she kept me and Stafford after class. Because I'm sure we were just being the same brats we had been in the third grade in her class. Same thing. We didn't really expect her to be any better than Mrs. Purvis. And Mrs. Purvis didn't like us, and we do it. And it's just what school is. This is, we've got to get through this. That's all it was. And so, Mrs. Bradford. I think she had Stafford in first. And then she had me in. And she's sitting there behind her desk, and she made me sit in the desk right in front of her desk so we could talk face to face. And she said, "Earl, I don't want this year to be a waste for you. I'd like for you and me to be friends." Miss Purvis never said that. She knew the record. I'm sure she knew how many times Stafford and I had been down to the principal's office with Mrs. Purvis hoping he would beat us. And Mrs. Bradford now, with those words, is in tears. And I was jolted. School had not been like this. It was a new thing. This lady cares. And it was indeed a totally different year of school. I credit that year for being why I'm probably not in jail today. She got my attention with a face and some words that said, "I care. I love you. Let's be friends." By the work of the tempter, I don't know, maybe Miss Purvis was better than we thought. I don't know. But by the work of the tempter, there is an effort going on that God never get your attention for how much He cares and wants to be friends. Once you reconciled, once you in a locked up relationship of friendship with Him, it is out there everywhere. No time for God. That's being done, attempted to be done, to every person in this room. It doesn't have to be that you're just a slime ball. You're hanging out at the clubs and the junk joints and the bars and wherever else. They just get to the bottom of the barrel trying to find some meaning for life, pouring in everything from alcohol to drugs to whatever else they get a kick out of. We're not talking about that. Just no time for Him. And so no friendship with Him comes. It's everywhere. I'm not sure how this slide came out. Oh, that didn't do too bad. Everything wants your attention and takes it if it can. It doesn't have to be some evil thing. If it just is there and can push God out, you have no time for Him. And the result is no friendship with Him. No day-to-day me and God status. 2:13. On the pages of your life for 2:13 will either be these things, and you could put tons more things on there. Had your attention and they took up all your energy. They are people here today. Bless their hearts. I know them. Who are not here, not because they're bad. They're just other things that demanded their attention. And so God doesn't get it. What a shame. Will that be you? Have you got enough fiber, enough faith, enough devotion to the face of a God who says, I'll be with you always if you let me. Not to let that happen to you and the story of your life this year be other things pull me away. I'm sorry. I hope not. To the degree that you don't do that, it's to the degree that you and God will be tight and things will go well in your life. He'll bless you. No time to listen to God, to be with God, to interact with God, who cares so much. When we think of the end that He went to make all things new, to reconcile, it has to take our minds to a scene of 6 hours on Calvary. That's what He went to, because He wanted to be my friend and yours, to reconcile us. For today's lesson and what time I have left, I want to look at Psalms chapter 81, at least a portion of that psalm. I am sure I'm not going to get done. If I don't, I'm taking this into next time I preach. Psalms 81. This particular portion of that psalm, I couldn't do it all, so I just picked this. 81, beginning with verse 7. I want you to tune in to God in this. Just listen. Listen as though He's talking directly to you. Really try. In distress, you called, O Israel. He's referencing back all the way to the point where their lives were in misery. They had many things that happened, but their life in Egypt is parallel to my life or yours, past tense in sin. And it was slavery. And you called, they called Him. And I delivered you. I took you out of there. In other words, I saved you. I answered you in the secret place of the thunder. And that takes us to the scene with Moses on Mount Sinai with Him. And God answered Moses in the thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. I don't know exactly where Meribah is. I know about where it is. I know it's on the Sinai Peninsula. I know it's somewhere approaching the border of Edom, because there isn't long until they're there. And things happened there that changed things so bad, because the people were misbehaving so badly. They didn't appreciate God. They grumbled and complained, and they wanted to go back. There was a total gripe against Moses and God that took place there that upset God. Moses lost his right to go into the promised land there. Aaron died there. And God says in verse 8, hear, O my people, while I admonish you. Hear, God saying to His people. Will you hear when I have your attention? O Israel, if you would but listen to me. Don't hear that for Israel. Hear that for you. God saying it. We're just like them, as loved as they. Oh, that you would listen. If you would just but listen. There shall be no strange god among you. You shall not bow down or give your attention to a foreign god. Don't jump past that too fast. A foreign god. We were talking in Jim's class today about worshiping and serving the creation rather than the Creator. God, He can't take that. The creation for us is not some little idol that we made like they did. We don't have that problem. Our creation of idols are the things that are made from the same kind of atoms that those little statues were made of. We call them television sets, computers, game things, all kind of access by which things can get into me, into my head, that is in the world that's been put together by people who have all kind of skill to put together the science that we have. And these things become idols, and we sit in front of them and soak up all that they've spit out at us. And they're more potent. These idols talk. Those could not. These idols move. Those didn't. They just stood there. We have stronger idols than they do. Or did. You shall not bow down. Give your admiring attention to a foreign god. Don't do it. It'll pull you away from friendship with me. I am the Lord your God. I brought you up out of the land of Egypt. I brought you up out of the land of sin to the land of saved, the land of friendship between you and me. I brought you there. Open your mouth wide, and I'll fill it. I can be trusted. I'll fill you. You don't have to go to these other things. You don't have to let them pull you in because of their attractions similar to the the fruit on the tree that Eve took. Don't be pulled away. I'll fill you. But my people did not listen to my voice. And he's back to those out there in the wilderness, but the point is us too. My people either do or do not listen to my voice. Israel would have none of me. We don't have room for you, God. We got room for all this other stuff. We got a lot of room for this stuff. I'm sorry, God, no room left. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own counsels. Okay, if that's what you want, just go have it. An emotional God. Oh, that my people would listen to me. That's a person who desires friendship with you, remonstrating over the fact that it is hard and often we just reject it outright. We won't listen. That Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies. All your enemies are your problems, your difficulties, the things that plague your life. I would beat them back for you. If you listen, I'd subdue them. I would turn my hand against your foes. God says, I'll respond. I won't just stand by and watch you suffer. I'll be there. But listen to me. Let's be friends. Let's have that closeness that we need. Those who hate the Lord would cringe toward Him. When they see, when your enemies see what I'll do to them if you become friends with me and listen, these enemies of yours are not going to be very happy. Their fate would last forever. They'll be done for. The things that fight down to beat your life. I would feed you with the finest of wheat. There's a God who says, I'm ready to be friends. I'll satisfy you. Finest of, not just plain old wheat, the best wheat. You'll be satisfied. You won't have any of these hungers for all this junk that is being shoved at you. And with honey from the rock, I would satisfy you. I'll make it sweet. It'll be great. What a God. What an offer for friendship with you. Will it be in 2013 that you have to say, well, Lord, I'm just already committed. I've got this and I've got that. And, you know, it's just my life. And He'll let you walk in your own counsel and arrive at your own misery therefrom, as He did these people. May God help us make better choices. May it reverberate and invigorate our faith and our trust in Him. And listen to His words and let Him persuade us that He can be trusted. God seeks our attention, seeks to be heard. This psalm references a time when His people were not listening. And that is not a problem that has been removed from the face of this earth. Between God and even His people like us under this roof here today. It still exists. It's still the biggest problem we have. Whatever we identify to be our biggest problems is not, I just need more money. Oh, if I just found out I got to have a hip replacement. If I just had my new hip, everything would be great. No, it wouldn't. It'll be great when you and God are better friends. And He'll handle all of the other problems. They'll just be gone. And you will just be satisfied with the best wheat and the sweetest honey. That'll describe your life. That's a promise from God, where friendship really abides, exists, is alive. Reconciliation, you and God, friendship status, life's good. In what way did these people fail the test? They failed it. And they failed it badly. You know where the people that He's talking to are today? Well, I don't know exactly about the unknown world beyond death. But I know their bones are laying out there in that desert somewhere on Mount Sinai today. They did not respond. Their life story ends in hopelessness. All of them who left Egypt under the kindness of God, provided for God, a God who just wanted to be friends and who offered to provide and be with them and take care of their needs, but who refused Him. All of those in that whole generation, the Scripture says, the book of Numbers, who were 20 years old and older, died out there. He let the children go on into the promised land, but they died except for Joshua and Caleb. They all died because they refused God. And the potential for that being my story or yours still exists today because of that tempter who's out there who wants to pull you away with whatever he can do, pull you with from a friendship with God. He'll work on it. There is no person in this room he is not going to work on. And he'll only not succeed if somehow your heart, your mind, your being, your spirit has caught hold of how wonderful God is, about how hard he's worked to be friends. I have not called you servants, doulos, slaves, Jesus said in John chapter 15. But I've called you friends. A slave, a servant doesn't know what his master's doing. They're all kind of separate. But we don't just have a servant to master relationship. I've called you friends because I've told you everything. Isn't that a wonderful offer? That's from God. The God who put you here. The God who created you. The Creator God. Would you look at yourself in the mirror? He's the source of that. He's the one. He put you here. And He wants to be friends and offers that. May God help us to take Him up with a faith that says, yes, as a disciple, go make disciples. What's a disciple? That's one who follows somebody around because they love them and they have confidence and trust in him and a friendship is there. That's what God wanted to make between every person on this planet, and especially is it true as we focus in today on you and me. A follower who loves him, wants to please him, has seen how wonderful he is and become friends with him. May that be who we are, starting with this first Lord's Day throughout this entire year. And if that is in disrepair with you today, you know Satan succeeded. He's messed up. And you've listened and you've let him pull you off over here and over there. It may not be awful stuff. He just pulled you away from God with whatever he could. Put your feet down by faith. Stick your hand out into the hand of Jesus. And by faith, trust, just walk with him in friendship starting this day forward. Need to come? Come as we stand and sing.